This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mak and Wang Xiaoning. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday the 9th of March, and we are into yet another week, guys. How are we this morning? Xiaoning, how was your weekend?
Guess what I did, which I hadn't done in a long time.
You ran?
Yes, it was so... good to be out there and kind of enjoy the.
Did you maintain like a 2 meter distance from every person you saw?
No, because there was nobody when I ran at that
Even
hour.
Better.
Yeah. Well, at 6:30 a.m., there's just me and a few diehard walkers, and you know, it's quite nice. It's quite nice to be out there because it's been like a crazy past few weeks, right, with all the politics. So I think most of the BFM crew haven't had much of a break. So yes, last weekend was a bit of normality, but. Sadly, not really normal with all the COVID-19 going on.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of fear surrounding the number of cases that we're seeing. But it is important to note also when we're talking about the coronavirus outbreak that the recovery rates are also starting to rise. So there is still some hope yet.
Yeah, I mean, just be sensible, follow the MOH advice. You know,
take reasonable precautions.
Yeah, but I think businesses are definitely impacted. When you go anywhere, like even for me, my regular Pasar Malam on Sunday was much, much quieter than normal. I think people just try to avoid the crowds as much as possible.
Yeah, so there's been a lot happening this weekend. On Sunday, it was International Women's Day. So I think the Women's March was happening in central KL. It was also, of course, the anniversary of the disappearance of MH370. It's already been 6 years since the plane disappeared.
I know, and very sadly for the families, they are not any closer to finding out what really happened, right? And you know, until you do, maybe you never find closure. So yeah, I my hearts go out to them for this unanswered mystery almost.
Absolutely. So our deepest condolences to the families of those who were victims of MH370. And of course, this entire week, 2 weeks, has been entirely taken over by political discussion, it feels like, because, you know, we do have a new government. And the question now is, when are we going to see a new cabinet? A lot of rumours are swirling that we might see that cabinet happen this week. So after the 6:30 news, we're going to be taking a look at this piece of news, as well as some calls for the new cabinet to have 30% representation of women.
Yeah, I'm also going to be talking about what most of us or some of us have had to experience, which is working from home. I mean, it sounds like a dream, right? I mean, you get to do your computer, but you get to sit by your computer in your pajamas. But, you know, does it really work? And what are the issues actually when it does happen?
All right. And if you want to weigh in on our conversations, remember you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be taking a look around the office and seeing what are the technology habits of your co-workers that drive you most up the wall. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Live Forever by Oasis. And you're tuned in to The Morning Run with Lin and Xiaoning. Now, this morning, we're taking a look at a story in the Wall Street Journal. You know, tech habits of co-workers that might drive us crazy. And I think the most important sentence in this article it says this, you know, our frustrations with workplace technology often aren't because the technology is intrinsically annoying, it's because people are intrinsically annoying.
I mean, the same people that you find annoying in the office are probably the same people that you find annoying on tech. I mean, it's the same, right? Kind of like...
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I think technology can actually exacerbate this.
It's true. Right? It's also a new thing. If you think about it, right? I mean, we devise societal norms, right, in terms of how to communicate. Mm-hmm. When you speak to someone, what you should say, please, no, and all that. And tech is kind of newish. So maybe people are starting to, you know, at least discovering what they can and what they shouldn't do. It's just evolving, right?
Yep. And, you know, looking at this article, they mention a few things, you know, CC insanity is one of them.
I hate that.
Because it's so easy to just, you know, who might be interested in this? It's not.
Sorry,
are you all right, Shani?
I almost fell off the chair. Apologies.
That's all right. You're still with us. So CC insanity is basically what happens when, you know, you don't ask is Shaoning, does Shaoning really need to know this?
No.
You think, never mind, instead of asking her, even though she's only like 3 feet away, I'm just going to CC her in this email and contribute to the flood of emails that land in her inbox every day.
Yes, thank you for adding to the 3,475 emails that I will not read.
Guess how many I have?
How many?
I have 11,000.
Well, you've worked here longer than me, Lynn. I'm sure I'll get to 11,000. It's just a matter of time from all these people CCing me.
CCing and email lists and all of those.
I mean, okay, sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. But I think it's also this culture and, you know, I've experienced it before where people, I would call it the CYA. Cover your and then toot. So the toot, I think you can figure it out. So the toot is basically so that, you know, that if anything goes wrong, I made everybody accountable. Everybody knows. So you can't blame me if it goes wrong. I'm like, it doesn't work that way, guys. But yeah, it's so common.
Yeah, it is. And another thing that they mention is channel hopping, right? So they talk about radio, two sides of the same coin. One is radio silence and the other is channel hopping. You know, radio silence can be when you message someone, you know, let's just say in the middle of the day.
A reasonable time. During
office hours and get no reply whatsoever. And then, you know, you start to get a little bit stressed. You think, oh no, you know, this deadline, I have to get it done by 3 o'clock. And then you start to chase them across all of the different technology channels they're on.
Do what I do, just call them.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
Pick up the phone and speak to them.
You know, rather than email them and then
WhatsApp them
and then message them on Slack and then message them on another, Gchat or whatever.
If it's important enough. Actually, I decided the best thing is if it's urgent, send a WhatsApp. Are you free to talk now? Right?
Yeah.
That would give you an indication whether the person is, you know, you can communicate. And then yes or no or whatever, right?
Or usually the first thing I do if they haven't been replying to my messages, and then I think, okay, you know, maybe they just haven't seen it, the phone is on silent or on do not disturb or whatever, I will call them and say, hi, everything's all right. I just need a quick word. Do you have time to talk now? No? Okay, can we talk in half an hour?
Yeah. You know? That's the best. Sometimes
that works.
But yeah. I guess that we get into this WhatsApp world, right?
Yeah.
And we get comfortable with it. But then some of it gets lost in translation. So yes, I think that's one thing. The other thing, you know, which I thought was quite cute, was these people who are tech resistant. And we have some in our office. I'm guilty a little bit. But there are others also who, you know, you tell them, okay, if you want this, go to this platform. Everything is there. And then every week they come back and say, where's the story? I'm like, in that platform. And then they're like, but I don't have access. And then the history repeats itself every week. And you know who you are.
And the best thing is, you know, the ones who say they don't have access typically do have access.
Yes.
They just never paid attention to the platform. Oh yeah, I've had this, and I've had bosses whom I've had to physically take their phones away from them in order to access something that I had sent them, because they're like, you know, no,
I never got it.
I never got it. You know, you didn't send it to me.
What are you talking about?
I absolutely did. No, you know, I don't have this app.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, sound familiar?
Yeah, no, but these are all things that, you know, just come down to evolving modes of communication, right? And different people, different generations have different ways of communicating. So you have to find some way to bridge that gap. You know, there's, especially in organizations and workplaces where you start to see sometimes four generations all in the same workplace together. This is becoming even more critical, because we do have Gen Zs already in the workplace.
I know, those born in 2000.
Yeah,
still shocks me.
And they are digital natives.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's true. But I think what is important is that the team has some agreed forms of communication, right? So that people just don't do their own thing and then there's miscommunication as a result. And everybody, if it's important enough, just pick up the phone to call, you know. That the old-fashioned way might be the best.
Well, do let us know what you think. What tech habits annoy you most in the office? You can WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got some messages coming up for you, and then we're taking a look at the process of working from home. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was All I Think About Now by Pixies, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning. Now, I think in the midst of this COVID-19 outbreak, a lot of businesses are now implementing work from home strategies, right? So, and in any case, I think a lot of us have done a work from home at least once in our lives, and This is becoming a lot. It's quite interesting because it does unearth some challenges as well as some surprises. And this is something that's talked about in the Financial Times, because the author of this article, Ravi Mathu, he calls himself a coronavirus refugee. So he's been working from home for a couple of weeks in a different country from his home. He's working in London while his office is in Hong Kong. So, it's things like, it's unearthed challenges like video calls. You know, what do you, if you are conference calling with your colleagues, do you pay attention to what's in the background? What it is you're wearing?
Yeah, I think you need to pay attention to make sure that you don't look terrible. I mean, your colleagues might be like, why does she look like that? Is that what she looks like without makeup? Oh my, I can imagine all the gossip.
Yeah, and even just, you know, we say that, oh, technology enables us a lot, and it really does, but it's got, as we were talking about earlier, you know, in our previous discussion, technology comes with its own forms of etiquette, right?
Yeah.
And it becomes even more important when, say, your phone or your computer is your only access to your colleagues. You know, when I've worked from home before, I found that myself quite, you know, at the same time, it was an interesting dichotomy, because at once I felt a lot freer to do kind of, you know, to walk around the house, to get coffee, to take a shower, to kind of throw a toy for my dog in between working. But at the same time, you are very stressed to leave your phone.
Yeah, because you feel you are obliged to be in communication, right? Just like in the office, right? Reachable. That the right word?
But whereas in the office, you know, you can leave your phone and not look at it and have your colleague from two tables over say, Lynn, can I ask for your help for something? You know, when you're at home, you don't have the benefit of that proximity. So the only way that people access you is through your devices.
I think also if you work from home, you can have 1,001 platforms, right, whereby you still stay in touch. But maybe nothing beats having a face-to-face meeting and bouncing off, especially when you're trying to be creative and trying to bounce off ideas. And, you know, it's like let's say you're planning some program like us, we're planning some sort of campaign. It's always easier to have this kind of discussion face-to-face rather than type it out. And some of it gets lost in translation when you are trying to kind of, you know, like do a formal kind of a email, you know, guys, I want to do this. Then, you know, the next person replies, it doesn't have that fluidity.
It doesn't. And even if you do this kind of idea generation over video call, for example, you know, if you have, I mean, lags.
Yeah, lags.
You know, that can really throw a spanner into the works, right? Because especially if you have, say, more than three people in a video call or in a conference call at one time, it can get really crowded.
Yeah.
And you don't know who's speaking if it's just a conference call and not a video call. And sometimes you cut over each other, people can't hear you. It's a trial.
It is. I mean, technology has enabled us to do this, but at the same time, it's not completely foolproof either, right? But there are certain pluses. One is which you're, when you work from home, is that you're near your own fridge and you can drink your own coffee.
I'm not sure whether that's a plus, actually, Xiaoding, because it just means that I kind of am tempted to visit the fridge more often.
Actually, there was another article in the FT by a lady who came back from Italy. It's a similar article. And for her, she found that she put on some weight because she was near that fridge. So yes, it is a plus, but it can also be a bit of a minus, you know.
Actually, some people have found that they've been spending more money, because there was another article that I saw in Bloomberg, which, you know, because of all of this work from home culture, millionaires who've been stuck at home have managed to boost trading, because while they're, you know, waiting for meetings and so sitting at home in their pajamas, they open up their stock trading accounts and start buying and selling.
Well, maybe because also the markets have been extremely volatile. So if you're very brave, actually volatility is where you can make some money. So yeah, you know, since they're stuck there, why not?
Yeah, so this is an interesting time, you know, even as it comes amid this COVID-19 outbreak. Do tell us if you've been working from home, you know, and tell us how it went. Did you find any challenges that you did not anticipate? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are heading into the 6:30 news with Lee Shin Ying of our news team poised at the mic. But first, here is Rage of Plastics by US Girls, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Rain is Falling by Electric Light Orchestra, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. 6:40 in the morning, Monday the 9th of March, and one of the things that we've been covering extensively over the past week or two has been the shake-up in our country's leadership. So we have a new Prime Minister, and we are set to have a new cabinet as well, but nobody quite knows what this cabinet's going to look like, or even when it's going to be released. So there are a lot of rumours swirling that the cabinet release is going to be this week. And in fact, this morning, the Malay Mail has an article quoting former Housing Minister Zuraida Kamarudin, who claims that this new cabinet will be announced on Tuesday. And she's hoping to see a 30% representation of women in that cabinet.
Well, that would be a good thing. Just, I think it might be a bit of a challenge because there are only 9 members of parliament in this new coalition, right, per Ikatan National. So if you need 30%, how do you... How
9 members of parliament, yes, in this coalition.
Yes, and that's what she said. So Zuraida in this Malay Mail article said, at the moment, there are only 9 women MPs.
Oh, women MPs.
Yeah, in PN. So it's difficult to reach the 30% quota. It takes a woman to understand the needs of the woman. I'm quoting her. However, the 30% quota can be achieved through the appointment of senators. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they would need to appoint a fair bit of senators, actually.
Yeah, and I think so. And I think, you know, everyone has a lot of concerns over what this cabinet is going to look like. But I live in hope that eventually we will actually, within perhaps the next few years, see this 30% women representation in cabinet. Because even under Pakatan Harapan, I don't think we managed that. I think, if I remember, I did the math back of the envelope calculations a while ago, and it came in at 16-17% representation of women in cabinet at the time. And we did have some quite high-profile and effective women ministers, but still, they were distinctly in the minority.
Yeah, I mean, they did achieve the highest in history. Mm-hmm. So it's 20 ministers, over 20 ministers and deputy ministers. But as usual, like whether it's in the office, whether it's board of directors, women in top positions, mm-hmm, there's never enough women. I think the only number that women have really achieved is the number of women in higher education. I think that number is above 50% in universities.
Present in universities, but
In public universities.
In public universities. But I had a conversation with Professor Asma Ismail of Academy Sciences Malaysia, and she pointed out that even in higher education, when it comes to employment in higher education, women in top leadership positions are still rare because you do get a lot of female... So she's from a STEM background. You do get a lot of women as researchers in STEM, but how many of them do you actually see achieving professor status?
Yeah.
Not very many. How many of them pursue PhDs? And this is quite common. I think the only area actually where women are really well represented is in the judiciary, because we do have a number of female judges sitting at the federal court level, at the appeals court level. I think that's the only area, because otherwise, you do see this kind of drop-off in terms of women in top leadership positions. You see women becoming more and more involved in the workforce. You know, we're still standing about 56%, you know, compared to 80% of male participation, but it's still 56%. And yet, where are they in the top posts?
Not at the very top. I mean, there's always this glass ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. People talk about... I think the glass ceiling exists. I mean, you can have quotas, companies can say all the right things, they can have a very very clever kind of pro-women policies, and a lot of companies, kudos to them, they do. But they are the realities that women face, right?
Yes.
I mean, one of which is that when it comes to making sacrifices for the family, ultimately, who does it? You know, there's this societal kind of pressure that it's the woman. And I think sometimes it's also practical. It's in the sense that if your partner earns more than you, realistically, what choice do you have? You normally defer to the one that makes more money, and the one that makes less money, usually is the one that stays at home.
So it's a bit of an awful chicken and egg situation, right, that a lot of women face. And I think even more so during crisis situations like this COVID-19 outbreak, because schools are being shut across the region. South Korea schools, you know, children aren't expected to be back at school for the next month.
Yeah, in Hong Kong, they're closed to Easter. Yes. And they've been closed since Chinese New Year.
And
so
the bulk of the responsibility for the care of these children is going to fall on their mothers. So, there are articles surfacing now looking at these women and speaking to them, talking to them about the depression that they feel, the struggle with maintaining some semblance of work balance as well, while they also have to stay at home and care for the children at all hours of the day. So it is a difficult situation that a lot of women face.
I mean, you need to have gender pay equality. That has to be something thought about. I think the other realistic thing that the government or even that there should be available is affordable and good quality childcare. So even if you earn less than your partner, you can still work because you can afford to send your kid to childcare. Because I've had colleagues who in the end became homemakers because the cost of childcare was so high that it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, so that's a struggle that I think the previous government was looking to address at one point. But now that we do have a new government in place, I think there are still a lot of question marks over where they're going to go in terms of their economic and social policies. But we'll be keeping an eye out for any cabinet announcements and bringing the news to you as we get it ourselves. But right now we are heading into some messages. And then after that, we're taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. That was The Tide is High by Blondie, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, we've been talking a lot about technology this morning, some tech habits that might irritate you, as well as how technology is enabling work from home practices. And Sui Chuan on Twitter, in response to our question of, what's your biggest tech pet peeve, has said WhatsApp replacing email as official communication. The worst is to attach documents in WhatsApp. Yeah.
Guilty.
I know. As soon as I turned around and saw your face, Xiaoning, I knew you'd done it.
I've done it. Guilty. Yeah, but sometimes it's the fastest way, right? I mean, sometimes you've got no choice. You don't always have access to your computer. But then, admittedly, reading that document on your phone does drive anyone nuts because the words become so tiny.
Yeah.
So you're guilty.
I think I've sent documents mainly to group chats. I tend to avoid sending it to individual people if I need to send them documents, because then I'll just be like, okay, you know what? I'll just email it to you. Easier, you can look at it on your phone or on your computer if you so wish.
Yeah, and Ro actually wrote in and on WhatsApp, and he said, if there's one thing a mobile phone is not used for, it's to make calls. Yeah, a lot of people don't use it to make calls anymore. It's for WhatsApp, email, SMS, a reminder, but don't call because that's just too personal or intimate. Yes, sometimes I'm guilty of that too. But like I said this morning, if it's urgent, just message the guy. Are you free? Can I talk? And then if the guy says yes, call them, because sometimes you just can't do it over WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And then your fingers get tired too because there's just too many alphabets.
Ruslan has also messaged in to say call etiquette, text first, wait a reasonable amount of time and then only call. Unless it's urgent, then call straight. His personal belief is that his device is for his convenience, not the other person's. I guess for me, the question is always, what is a reasonable amount of time? Because, I do take the step to, if something has a definite time limit on it, I'll say, if you're able to reply before 12 p.m., please do so. Otherwise, just disregard this text. Right, because then I'll have come up with contingency plans without you if you didn't reply to my text by 12. And then maybe I'll call. But yeah.
Well, I don't know. For me, if it's urgent enough, just call. It's fine, I mean, and it's also a question of, it's what's urgent to you may not be urgent to the other person sometimes, right?
Mm.
So, communication, there's not one formula for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So I think we try and find the middle ground.
Absolutely. Now, this morning we're also taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers. But before that, you know, it's also been brought to my attention, Channing, that it is also Commonwealth Day.
Yes,
today.
It is. It is. And, well, it's not a public holiday, sadly. It's not a public holiday in UK either, sadly. I'm not sure how many countries actually celebrate it as a public holiday anymore.
Gibraltar, apparently.
They're the only ones?
I don't know, but that's the only one I know off the top of my head.
Okay, I do know that there are 53 countries that were previously part of the British Empire, and you know, apparently celebrated by over 2 billion people, or about one-third of the world's population. So, you know, but of course any holiday like that, you know, or supposedly not a holiday but a celebration, is a bit tinged with controversy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit because you know, at the end of the day, this is still celebrating, you know, the colonial history, and admittedly we did get some things out of that colonial period, but a lot of it's definitely a pros and cons situation.
Well, but there are things to celebrate. I mean, the Commonwealth has moved on, and they try and have some certain shared values apparently. So you know,
but how good is that track record on those shared values?
It's a bit mixed, I have to say, but they celebrate certain fundamental values, which is set out in this 1971 Declaration of Commonwealth Principles and contained in other declarations. So there is continued commitment to democracy, the process of it, free and fair elections, representative legislature, the rule of law, and the independence of the judiciary, which we should celebrate in Malaysia, or we should have,
yes,
right?
Yes, very relevant to us today. Now, speaking of that representative legislature, the Star's front page has gone with the headline, "To be revealed," because Malaysians are all ears for the Prime Minister to announce his cabinet after these 2 weeks of political turmoil. So that's the front page of the news. But it also goes with a picture of what looks like shoppers walking through a mall in KL. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's New Central.
It is.
And all wearing masks because of the COVID outbreak.
Yeah, I think the other big headline is the Malaysian Reserve, where the headline is government could lose up to one-third of all revenue on price war. And I had a look at Brent crude this morning, and it's down 20% to $35 per barrel. So far, far away from our budget assumption. So it's going to be quite painful for us, actually.
Yeah, the Financial Daily's headline is also Saudi's planned big oil output hike beginning an all-out price war. And this is something that I think we're going to be taking a look at as well later on during the 7 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I mean, not so good, I think, the headlines today, and sadly.
No, unfortunately not. But then it has been quite the busy couple of weeks in politics, both locally as well as abroad. And we're going to be bringing you more analysis on all of this after the 7 o'clock news bulletin when we enter the business end of the morning run. But first, here to take you into the news is Soma by The Strokes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.